asked if he'd like dinner, a budget airline passenger asked, "What are my choices?" The attendant responded, "Yes or no." Hi, I'm Rob West. When you're on a budget, you may forget that you still have choices and flexibility. Today, John Putnam joins us to talk about the 3D budget and how it can help you get your priorities straight. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a treat to have my friend John Putnam back on the program. He's a certified financial planner, a certified kingdom advisor, and founder of Smarter Stewardship, a marketplace ministry. And John, we're delighted to have you back.
Rob, always good to be with you.
Hey, I came across your 3D budget recently. It's a free resource that you're offering at smarterstewardship.com. And I really wanted to share this with listeners as a fresh new look at their spending plan. I think it's really important. Tell me why you created it.
Rob, you know, so often with budgets, I've just been doing this for so long. People sit down with their budgets and it's just a long list of income and expenses, just a long list of sort of two-dimensional numbers, dollars in and dollars out. And what I wanted to do was create something that would give the people a tool that would provide more perspective on their budgets that they're not getting just looking at dollars in and dollars out.
I love it. So what specifically is offered here that gives someone better control over their money?
Well, the first piece you need to understand is that all expenses are not created equally. Yeah. So when we look at all of our expenses on a budget, we need to understand that everyone has a different weight about them. Mm. And what it does is really allows you to refresh your goals. It helps you understand what your outflows are, what are flexible, what are not, where could you increase cash flow. And it creates a unique perspective that you can not only use yourself, but it makes it easier to communicate your budget with your spouse or an advisor.
Great. Well, folks can download it at smarterstewardship.com and take a look at it themselves. But give us the nuts and bolts of the 3D budget.
I'll give it to you pretty promptly. It's pretty straightforward. So if you can imagine your regular budget is just a line of income coming in, expenses going out, and you want your expenses to be less than the dollars coming in. We all know that. But what I wanted to do here was to take each of these expenses and then create three columns. These are the three dimensions. Column one is what you have to pay. This is anything that is contractual in nature or required, like your rent or your mortgage or a credit card. Column two is what you need to pay. These are needed, but they're a little flexible. Think about where you get your internet service from or cable or dry cleaning possibly. And then finally, you've got the third column, which is what you want to pay. These are 100% optional. They could go to zero at any given time, and it wouldn't affect your basic living expenses. And by creating these three columns, you can take each expense out of your budget and say, okay, is this something I have to pay, something that I need to pay, where I've got a little flexibility, or something that I want to pay? And that last column, what I want to pay, is really important, especially times where we're thinking about like this upcoming recession, or we may be in it. We talked about this a while back, Rob, is that if you need to capture immediate cash flow, this want to pay column, you can take it to zero and it doesn't affect anything financially in the work that you're doing on a month-to-month basis.
I love it, John. It's a simple change, but it could really give you a unique perspective into your budget, perhaps that you haven't had previously. Just 30 seconds left. How does this help you prioritize your actions?
Rob, the simplest way to say it is it adds perspective that you don't have in just looking at a column of numbers. It gives you three different looks at your differing expenses, and it gives you different approaches to deal with each one in an impactful way.
Yeah, some of them really immediate, like the want to. Others are going to take a little bit longer, but it helps you look at it in a way where you can take some action. John, thanks for stopping by, my friend. Always great to be with you.
Always good to be with you, too.
That's John Putnam, founder of Smarter Stewardship. You can download a copy of your 3D budget at smarterstewardship.com. It's on the resources page. Again, smarterstewardship.com. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Peace is a rarity in our world. Nations fight nations. Families are in conflict. Sometimes it seems as if peace will never come. Have you ever felt that way? Well, there's one promise of peace that we can take to the bank. Paul tells us in Romans 5, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't just wishful thinking either. Everyone trusting in Jesus has peace with God. That war is over. And that's the best news in all the world. Christians have the Lord as their Savior, not as their judge. We are His children and not His enemies. So no matter what happens in this world, you can rest. You can have peace with God through Jesus. Get Anchor Devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
You know, as we think about our lifestyle, our spending plan, well, it's critical to dial that in order to experience all that God has for us in this area of money management, because spending less than you earn is really key to every financial success. Your lifestyle is your biggest barrier to contentment and long-term financial security. You see, we can't save, give, pay off debt, or reach our financial goals without living within our income, and our spending plan is really the way we execute that on a daily basis. If we're spending more than we make, nothing else in our financial lives works. So how do we do that? Well, we pray and ask God to help us define the right lifestyle. We define enough for our lifestyle spending, and then we create a spending plan, a system to control the flow of money in and out so we can give every dollar a name, knowing that, well, it can't exceed 100%, right? So we have a fixed amount coming in. We can't live beyond that, even though debt allows us to do that. So we've got to rein in our spending and create a plan that reflects our values and our priorities, what's most important to us. And here's the reality. So often our spending will rise to our level of income by default unless we protest to the contrary. And so we need to be really serious about developing spending plans. And if you get into a difficult season, like perhaps you are right now with inflation sky high, well, that's where John Putnam's 3D budget could be helpful. When you go to smarterstewardship.com, just click on the free resource library. It will ask you to create a free account. There's no cost. And then you can download the 3D budget. And perhaps this new perspective on your spending, where you define your spending according to the have to, need to, and want to, will give you a way, when needed, to quickly eliminate those expenses that are 100% optional, to free up more cash flow so you can accomplish the things that are most important. Again, smarterstewardship.com is the way to go. This is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. I'd love to hear from you today. We've got some lines open. It's time for your calls and questions. You've probably been thinking about something financially over this past weekend. Maybe something's kind of rolling around in your mind. Maybe it's related to your spending plan and balancing that budget, or something entirely different, paying down debt, saving for the future, wrestling with a biblical perspective on managing God's money. Whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. You can also call us with your testimonies today. Perhaps God has been at work in your financial life and you'd like to share a testimony to that end. Maybe you've seen these principles from God's Word that we talk about on this program each day play out in your financial life and you'd like to be an encouragement to somebody else in our listening audience. That's certainly fair game today as well. Again, the number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. You know, folks, as we think about putting a spending plan in place, that automatically causes me to think about the FaithFi app. And if you haven't checked it out, I'd love for you to do that. Perhaps today is the day, especially here in the early part of a new month. To learn more, you can head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the app button. You'll see a link to download it from your app store. But here's the reality. This is going to give you perhaps that plan that you haven't had before, because in the FaithFi app, our money management system includes three systems in one. So you can pick the one that's best suited for the way God has wired you. Are you more hands-on or hands-off? Do you want to be more directional in nature, just kind of getting a sense of where your budget's headed for the month at a high view? Well, that's okay. Or if you want to be a little more detailed and use our full-blown digital envelopes system where you can see at any point in the month what's left in every one of your budget, quote-unquote, envelopes, digitally speaking, that's there as well. There's even one that's kind of a middle of the road. But you can pick the one that's best suited for you or you and your spouse and then get it set up. Our team would be happy to help you do that, providing support to you along the way. But it's a beautiful smartphone interface that's really simple. And because you're securely connected to your institutions and your transactions are able to be downloaded automatically, at any point in the month, you can see exactly what's left. Take a look at that eating out envelope or that clothing envelope or the gift envelope and see what's left. And when it gets to zero, well, you can make course corrections, make some changes, delay purchases. Maybe you make a transfer from one envelope to the other. Well, it's all available to you. Again, it's right there in the FaithFi app, and you can download it on our website. Just head to faithfi.com and click the app button and you can download it today. Check it out. Let us know what you think. We've got now 40,000 users in just a very short period of time since we launched the app, and it's getting rave reviews. Again, faithfi.com, just click app. All right, we've got some phone lines open today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. You know, as we think about our spending plans, that totaling of 100% is really key because so often when we build our budgets, we kind of just start with the expenses. We just start spending without really some intentionality given to how much do I have available and do I have enough margin to be able to accomplish my goals? You know, that's really critical, because what we don't want to do is just spend everything that comes in and not have the ability to say, God, what's most important in the future? What do I want to be saving for? Is it my ability to increase my giving? Is it the ability to fund a the purchase of my first home? Is it the ability to save for the future, for college or retirement? You know, we aren't able to do those things without margin. And it really requires that we have a spending plan that is allowing us to live on less than we earn so that we can fund those things. Well, that's the opportunity you have when you make short-term sacrifices to accomplish long-term objectives. But we've got to do that planning, and then we've got to make sure that those goals aligned with our values are reflected in our day-to-day spending habits. Well, we can't do that without a spending plan, and that's why I was delighted to be able to open with this topic today. All right, let's head to the phones. Again, we've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. If you have a question, financially speaking, or perhaps a testimony to share, we'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Kentucky. Hi, Catherine. You're on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, last week I heard you mention something called, I think it was I-bonds. I only got the tail end of it, but I have some money that I wanted to give to my grandkids. I mean, I don't want to give it to them right now, but I wanted to be able to, if they want to take it out in 3 months, I mean, 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or whatever, I need to know how much you can put in there and how long can it stay.
Yeah, very good, Catherine. It's a great question. A couple of questions for you as we define this. The first question is always just how you want the control to occur. And here's what I mean by that. If you keep the account in your name, right, whether you put it in I-bonds or CDs or you invest it in the stock market, you control it. And not only that, but you would decide when it actually gets handed over to them. If you put it in what's called a custodial account, which is often what folks do when they're trying to give money to a minor child, well, it automatically becomes their asset at the age of majority in your state, usually 18. So if they're not making wise financial decisions at that point, or they want to buy a sports car, or they're far from the Lord, it's automatically going to be their money, and you just have to know that, which sounds like it would be most suited for what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, I think I want to control it for a while.
Okay, got it. And then what do you think the time horizon is? Is this money you think you'd want to perhaps be able to give to them as soon as 3 years, or is it 5 years plus?
Probably 5 years.
Okay, very good. That's helpful. Let's do this. I'm going to ask you to hold the line. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'll take that information you just gave me, and we'll talk about where you ought to go from here in terms of setting up the account, but also the investments you should think about putting in it, including perhaps I-bonds. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
I can just turn that radio station on and it just comforts me. It gives me peace. It gives me hope.
AFR is sharing the love of God, and we'd like to know how that has affected you.
I just want to thank God so much for Christian radio and especially AFR.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Call in your AFR story today.
Keep up the good work. You're an inspiration to me.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open, perhaps one just for you with your financial question or your testimony of God's faithfulness in your life. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. We'll get you on quickly. Just before the break, we were talking to Catherine in Kentucky. Catherine would like to be able to fund an account for her grandchildren, and specifically, she'd like to control the money, so not have it automatically become their asset when they turn 18, but earmark it for their purposes, and she's just wondering about a good investment, perhaps even I-bonds. The reason I asked about control is I don't want you then to put it into a custodial account, Catherine. So whatever we do with it, I'd like for you to open an account in your name, or if you're married, you and your husband's name, you can open a joint account. But perhaps you have it separate for each grandchild that you'd like to fund this for, so you can kind of mentally earmark it for their purposes, but you would still decide the time that you actually turn the assets over. In terms of the investments, I-bonds are a great option now. I don't think they're a great option, though, if we're thinking 5 year plus, and here's why. It's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, so it's essentially risk-free. Secondly, right now it's paying 6.82%, and you would be able to get that rate for 6 months, so you might say, well, why wouldn't I do that? And the reason is, I think that rate is going to continue to come down as the Fed fights inflation. So every 6 months, that rate is going to adjust, and as inflation declines, so will that rate. So you'll get 6.82 if you opened an account tomorrow and it was funded by next week for the next 6 months. But then when that 6 months is up and the interest is credited, you would start a new 6 month period at whatever the new rate is that we'll find out in May. And that number is going to be some, you know, number lower than 6.8. And I think it will continue to decline over the next few years. So, you know, I would say if you have money where that has a 1 to 3 year time horizon, because you can't take money out of an I-bond in less than 12 months. But if you were only looking 3 years out, I'd say you'd still probably do pretty well, and you could put in up to $10,000, you know, per person. But if you're doing it all in your name, obviously you'd be limited to $10,000. But if you're looking 3 years plus, specifically 5 years plus, my recommendation, unless you just don't want to take any risk with this money, would be to put it into a good, high-quality index fund that just mirrors the broad stock market, so that as this market recovers, and it will probably later this year, could be into next year, but it will recover and move to new highs. When it does, you would participate in that, and you'd see some growth in this. But you'd want to make sure you have at least a five-year time horizon on that, because if it was less, I wouldn't want you to have to sell the, you know, the investments at a loss when you're ready to give the money to the grandkids. Does all that make sense?
So I could go ahead and put it in I-bonds, and
yes,
it's
ma'am.
3 years and up to 10,000.
Yeah, it'd be a one-year minimum. The only reason I'm saying 3 years is I'm just saying that I think the rate's going to fall low enough over these next 2 to 3 years that you're no longer going to be, they're not going to be attractive like they are today in terms of what you're getting in a rate.
Okay. So would I decide, as it goes down, I could go ahead from take it out of the I bond and put it into an index fund?
You could, yes, ma'am. The only reason I might suggest, if you were going into an index fund eventually, you do that now, is I would hate for you to wait until the market fully recovers to buy into the index fund. If you're going to invest it, this is a pretty good time to do it, because stocks are still on sale, if you follow me, because with the market
down. So do an index fund.
Yes, ma'am. That would be the way that I would go. As long as you say this is money that has at least a five-year time horizon, I think you'll be rewarded more handsomely with the index fund over the next five-plus years than you will with an I-bond over that same period of time.
And I can only do $10,000 in that one?
No, if you put it in an index fund, you can do an unlimited amount. So what I'd do is go to either a Fidelity or a Charles Schwab, open one of their brokerage accounts. You'd open one for each of the grandchildren. You can put in as much as you want. And so you could do that monthly, or you could do a lump sum. You'd invest it in probably what they call their robo-advisor. So at Schwab, that's the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. And then basically, as you add money, it would automatically rebalance it and invest it for you. And it's very low cost. So it's about 20 basis points or 0.25% a year to be in that strategy. And it would just, you know, automatically grow, you know, with the market. And then when you're ready to pull it out, you know, you would be able to do that. And then you could gift it to your grandchildren. And based on the current laws, you can gift up to $17,000 a year without telling the IRS about it. If you go over that, you just have to tell the IRS you did it. And that's going to eat away at your lifetime gift exclusion of $12 million. So unless you're planning to give over $12 million, you don't have to think about any taxes.
I wish that, but okay, so I think I'll do the index fund, and I ask for Charles Schwab or
the Schwab. If you go to Charles Schwab, that and you'd ask for the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, that's going to give you that robo solution that basically automates the investments in the ETFs. The other one is Fidelity, but I'd probably use the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, and I think that's going to give you what you need just based on the time horizon and what you're trying to accomplish.
And there's, I can do 10 or 12 or whatever. There's no limit on that.
There's no limit. No, ma'am. Yeah, you can put as much in that as you want, because essentially you're just opening a brokerage account in your name. You're just earmarking it for each of the grandkids. And then once you're ready to make that gift to them, and that's what the IRS would see this as a gift, again, you can do up to $17,000, at least this year, you can do $17,000 in a calendar year, and you don't even have to report it to the IRS. If you go over $17,000, you just have to tell them you did it. But at any point down the road, you could make this as a gift to those children.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That answers my questions.
Well, you're very welcome, Catherine. God bless you. You sound like a wonderful grandmother, thinking about your grandkids and teaching them how to save diligently and be a blessing to them as well. So I appreciate you sharing that with us today. 800-525-7000. Sam in Arkansas has a question about tithing from a business. We'll tackle that just around the corner. Perhaps your question as well. What are you thinking about financially speaking? We'd love to hear from you, or maybe with a testimony today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Our team is standing by. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around. Back with much more just after this.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
God owns it all. We're stewards or managers of God's resources, and therefore money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So when we seek Him first and love God and not money, well, it puts everything in its proper perspective. Hi, welcome to Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're delighted you're along with us today. I hope this broadcast each day is an encouragement to you as you handle God's money faithfully and seek His wisdom from the Bible in making your day-to-day decisions. We've got a few lines open, perhaps one for you with your financial questions and testimonies today. We'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. Back to the phone, Sam. You've been very patient there in Arkansas. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate the insight.
Sure.
I have a question about tithing. So just a real quick background. Been married for about 17 years. I'm 40 years old and always been faithful to God. He's always returned everything back to us whenever we didn't know how he's going to make ends meet. But that's one thing that we've never slowed down or stopped on is tithing. But I've had a couple businesses in the past, successful businesses, and it was always easy to tithe off of those as far as what to tithe and being generous and stuff, just because it was always easy to identify what the real income was. The difference in this business is the income is a lot greater than the previous businesses, and also it's a little bit more difficult to know the real expenses just because there's a lot of costs that we had to assume right off of the start with this business. We went in business October 31st, somewhere around there. November 1st was the first of it. And as I said, there's a lot of expenses, a couple hundred thousand dollars that I've put into the business starting off. So, of course, it's going to be a long time before we have some profit. So my question is, what's different about this business is, do we tithe off of the salary that we're paying ourselves, which we've never done before? I've always just tithed off of what the business actually made. But the turnaround was a lot quicker then. But now, do we tithe off of what salary that we're paying ourselves, or do we just tithe off of the 10% of the business income? Because at times, just because I'm still purchasing equipment and I planned on it taking 6 to 8 months to even see a nickel of income, I planned on that, and I've been living off of our savings, and I've made preparation for having to do that for the first year potentially. So if we was to pay ourselves off of a salary that we're paying ourselves, which we haven't started yet, but we're going to, there would be weeks where we would be tithing off of that salary we're paying ourselves, but we actually haven't even made that much money to pay ourselves that. So what's your advice on that, and what's the right thing to do?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, Sam, and I appreciate your desire to honor God and your giving on a systematic basis, proportionate to your income. Clearly, that's what we're called to do, even though the principle of the tithe finds itself in the Old Testament under the law of Moses, and we're under the law of Christ in the New Testament. Those of us who have seen the cross and what Jesus did on our behalf, well, he called us to an even higher level of what I'll call whole life generosity, and I think in light of what he's done for us as just an overflow of our gratitude to God, we should be givers. And I think, you know, what my friend Randy Alcorn calls the training wheels of giving, that's the tithe. That should be the starting point. And then we should look to be able to give sacrificially even beyond that. And there's incredible joy and peace of mind and contentment that flows from that. And I know you've undoubtedly experienced that. But if we want to apply the principle of the tithe, I think that's a great place to begin. It would be based on our increase. And so the question is, when you own a business, what is your true increase? Typically, what I would say is, in a startup phase can be a little bit different, so we'll get to that in a second. But typically, what I would say is, if you're able to pay yourself a salary, then I would treat that as your increase. So you would pay yourself a salary. You could almost look at like that as, you know, a W-2 income that you would receive if you were an employee of someone else's business, and you'd tithe on that 10% of the full amount of the salary right off the top. And then if you also wanted to tithe on the business profits because you own the business and you want to honor God with all that you have, then I would say you'd need to wait until probably once a year or at least quarterly to determine what your true profit is after all the expenses, including your salary and anybody else, you know, that's being paid a salary or a wage from the business, plus all the operating expenses, to see what your true profit is for that period of time. And then if you wanted to give a gift to the Lord out of that, you would certainly do that. And in the early years, you may not have that at all. The challenge is, you know, if you tithed on the gross receipts of the business may not be able to stay in business. You know, I mean, a grocery store would be a great example. You know, a grocery store profit margins typically run between 1% and 3%. I mean, it's just really narrow after they pay for the cost of the food and the products and then all the operating costs. There just isn't that much available. They'd go out of business overnight if they were trying to tithe on the gross amount. So you do need to look at what is the true profit of the business before you'd make a tithe there. I think the question is, if you're in a sense paying yourself a salary in these early days and you're losing money, then you're really, you know, not paying yourself that salary. So that would be this kind of interim period where we need to say, is there truly an increase in this season? Because you and the business essentially are one from a tax standpoint and in practicality. And if there's not a true increase, then there's really not a tithe to be made. Does that make sense?
It does. It's just very, it's a little bit more difficult on this one just because, much like a grocery store, it's a trucking company is what I've started. Yeah. And I may have, you know, $30,000 in a couple months of fuel expenses and maybe $100,000 of product, but you know, if I buy something for $200 and I sell it for $250, certainly I don't tithe on $250. I would tithe on the $50.
Right.
And that's why it's a little bit difficult. And also, I'm buying a lot of equipment and a lot of tools right off the bat. So the question is, well, if you're not making money, how are you buying the equipment? And you know, we planned on living off of our. We really had to make the decision and plan on living off of our the resources we already had for a long time because we knew it would be a little while just because of the initial expense. And that, you know, our accountant recommended, you know, maybe we wait till the end of the year and then you tithe on that. But she said, you know, you do need to pay yourself a salary. It would be the best thing to do, which we've never done that before. We've always just lived off of the expenses of the business and tithed accordingly.
Yeah, that's going to be the best place to get to. And I realize when you're just starting a business, that sounds great, but it doesn't necessarily work out that way in practicality. So you, as you said, you all have made a decision. We're going to live off of our reserves, essentially not paying ourselves anything. And therefore, we have no increase because we're just living off of our previous savings, which we've already tithed on. And, you know, we're going to invest in the business, hopefully to get this thing going and make a profit. And the ideal situation, as your accountant recommended, is that you pay yourself a salary because that's going to be most favorable from a tax standpoint. You can also pay yourself distributions in addition to that, which wouldn't be subject to the FICA taxes. But whatever comes your way as either salary or distributions, or if you keep profit of the business that you want to calculate on an annual basis, once you're profitable beyond your own salary and all the other expenses, then you could tithe on that as well. But in this season right now, Sam, I don't see there is any tithe because you really don't have an increase. You're just pumping everything you get back into the business and draining your savings, which is hopefully temporary. Would you agree?
Yep, for sure. And I made a joke. I'm a deacon there at the church, and I made a joke with the other deacons at a board meeting the other night that I said, hey, guys, don't fire me yet. You'll notice I haven't tithed in a while because I just started the business in the end of October. I said, I'm waiting until the end of the year until we do our taxes to see how much we've lost.
That makes total sense, and we've all been there if we've started businesses. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians, and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Are you running away from God? Lots of things can cause people to turn their back on God. Maybe you feel God let you down. Maybe you got tangled in sin, or maybe you just got busy with life. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son in the Bible? When this wayward son returned home, he was met with open arms by his dad. That's the way your Heavenly Father feels about you. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Have you downloaded the Faith by app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're so glad you're here today. If you have a question or a testimony to share, 800-525-7000. Back to the phones to Oklahoma. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, I was gifted last year about $60,000 from a parent. And I was wondering, how much of that am I going to have to pay taxes on?
I got good news for you, Joe. You won't have any tax liability for the gift. The giver will have to fill out IRS Form 709 to report the gift, but even that person won't pay any taxes on the gift until they've reached the lifetime exemption of $12 million. So they've got a long way to go of gifting before they'd get anywhere close to that. Also, the state of Oklahoma has no gift tax. So you would not pay anything, any tax liability whatsoever for that gift of $65,000.
So I don't even have to report it to the IRS.
You do not. That's on the giver's side, not the recipient.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling, sir. God bless you. Let's stay right there in Oklahoma. Hi, Mario. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a credit card bill, like $9,000 to a major credit card company. I was wondering if I can settle for something less. And how do I know that if I pay them, they won't come back and say, hey, man, you might settle for $7,000. You know, you still owe us the balance of, you know, the amount.
Yeah. It's not uncommon for major creditors to settle a debt that's delinquent. In many cases, they'll do it, 30 to 60% of the original balance. The key is whether or not it's still with the original creditor or whether they've sold it to a debt collection company. Do you know?
Yes. Well, I had some kind of attorney. I forgot from what state, saying that, they were going to, take me to court or whatever, or take action, but I haven't heard from him since,
Okay. Was that attorney representing the original creditor, or did they represent a new debt collection agency that it's been sold to?
No, I guess it was the original creditor.
Okay.
It's the credit card company, one of the big major ones, the one starts with a D.
All right, got it. No problem. You can say it. Yeah, so it's probably a Discover, and they are known to settle debts, and that's fine. So what you would do is you would contact them and just let them know that you want to try to settle in full and that you'd like to do that in a lump sum at a reduced balance. To get to the point you mentioned earlier about what about their recourse if they came back and said, no, you still owe this. Well, you'd only do that if you got it in writing, which you'd request that they're willing to settle at a reduced amount. You'd get that in writing. Then you'd issue the check and get documentation that they received it, and then you'd want them to show that balance on your credit report as settled in full, and with a zero balance. And then they would you'd get a 1099 from the IRS for the difference, because that would be taxable, the difference between what you owed and what they settled for. Now, the other option is to go through a debt management plan where they could perhaps re-age the account. And this is all dependent upon how delinquent this is and whether they're willing to do this. But our friends at Christian Credit Counselors could work with Discover to see if they would re-age the account, essentially bringing you current, and then get you on a debt management plan where you'd make a monthly payment at a reduced interest rate and try to get that paid off just as quick as you can. But through a program that allows you now to become an on-time payer once that account is re-aged. So if you want to try to settle in full, you'd contact their customer service directly. And again, you'd always want to get that in writing and then get documentation that it was received and that balance is now zero. Otherwise, I'd go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org and see if they can get the account re-aged and entered into that debt management program.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much.
All right. Sounds good. All the best to you. We appreciate you checking with us today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Andy. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call. You have mentioned a couple of times, I've heard it, that a parent can gift up to $17,000 per year to a child. And I think because the other caller in Oklahoma is just talking to, I've got my answer. But so the giver files form 709 up to their total of $12 million, which not too many people are going to do that. But then the receiver doesn't have to pay taxes nor file anything. So, is that correct?
That is correct. And with one exception, as long as that gift in any calendar year to any individual person is less than $17,000 as of 2023, that's the current annual gift exclusion, then the giver doesn't even have to report it to the IRS on 709. That's only if they go above $17,000 to any one person in any single calendar year.
Right. Okay. So for instance, my mother-in-law passed away last year, and my wife got a $35,000 inheritance, and we recorded that. The IRS didn't ask anything about it, but the state of Arkansas asked about any inheritance, and we recorded that, but it didn't change our taxes or anything. And then my father-in-law, which there's divorce been for years, my father-in-law gifted $52,000 to my wife last year. He had a stroke the year before, and she helped him sell a house, and we actually moved him to Oklahoma from Texas, and we're caring for him and his wife. And so that $52,000, we don't have to report it, but he needs to report that on Form 709 because it was over $17,000.
You got it. Yeah, you're exactly right, Andy.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and you have a great day.
All right. You too, buddy. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got room for perhaps one more question between now and the end of the program. If there's something you've been thinking about financially, you'd like to get in on the conversation. Let's head to Alabama. Beautiful Alabama. Hi, Maxine. How can we help you?
Yes. Good morning. I'm calling about a question on tithing. I'm looking at changing my membership to a different church, and I want to know if it's okay that I tithe at the church I'm looking at going to. I've tithe at different churches before, and I want to make sure that that's okay to tithe at the one I'm not a member of right now.
Oh, absolutely, Maxine. You know, this is between you and the Lord, and, you know, the local church is God's plan A, and we should be invested and planted in a local church, and from time to time, the Lord may lead us to make a change for a variety of reasons from one church to another, but while we're there, we should be invested with our time and our presence and, you know, giving back, but also invested with our giving, and that includes our tithe. And so I would say, you know, while you're in this time of transition, I think, you know, it just allow the Lord to lead you as to the timing on when you'd make that switch to the new church. If the denomination requires a transfer of membership, maybe that's a good way to make this decision. So you'd begin tithing at the new church when you become a member there. But at the end of the day, this is not about checking a box or being legalistic. God wants our hearts, and this recognition of His provision and ownership through our giving and our demonstration of our trust and worship in Him by giving off of the income. Remember, it's all His, so it's a matter of giving back a portion what He's entrusted to us, to Him, to say, God, Your provision is complete, and in my giving, I'm going to demonstrate my total dependence on You, because I know You're going to continue to provide for me, and so I can give a portion away without holding it tightly with a clenched fist, because You're going to continue to provide. And so how you do that in terms of the timing as you're in this season of transition, I think is completely between you and the Lord, Maxine, and you're completely, you know, right on track, you know, as to make that decision at the right time. So I wouldn't be terribly concerned about it. Whenever you feel like it's time to make the switch, then I'd go ahead and do that. Does that make sense?
It does, and I appreciate you. My first time hearing you, and I thank you, and have a blessed day.
Okay, Maxine, I thank you for being a part of the program today. God bless you. You know, folks, that's our heart's desire here on this program each day, and really everything that happens on American Family Radio. It's all about applying a biblical worldview to our lives, every facet of our lives, our role as Americans and what we do as citizens of this country, and how we go about showing up at the polls, applying a biblical worldview to our families and how we parent our kids and our marriages and our walk with Jesus, drawing closer to Him and pursuing Him with full surrender to His purposes after we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And yes, our finances. You know, this is often the one area that we hold back. You know, it was often said there was the three conversions, the mind, the heart, and the wallet or the purse, right? It's that one area, I think it was Martin Luther that said that. It's the one area of our lives that we tend to kind of hold out of the water, metaphorically speaking, as we get baptized and demonstrate our full trust in Jesus. But we don't want to do that. We want to turn all of our lives over to Him, because when we do, we can then ultimately say, God, it's all Yours. My life, my resources, and I'm a steward. I'm a steward of my time, my treasure, my relationships. I'm a steward of truth. I'm also a steward of my talents. Lord, everything You've entrusted to me is Yours, and I want to be found faithful as that steward of everything You've given me, including Your money, God, because remember, it's the Lord who gives us the power to create wealth. It's also the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to Him. And so if everything is the Lord's, then my role is to say, how can I be found faithful with what passes through my hands? Well, our goal each day on this program is to help you do just that, so you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, as you enter into the joy of your master. So today, as you move forward and you make financial decisions, my prayer for you is that your spending, your day-to-day financial decisions would be a true reflection of ultimately what's most important to you, and that you'd pursue God with full surrender. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be given unto you. And now money becomes a tool to accomplish that everything that God has for you. Hey, thanks for being along today. Thanks for my team today, Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. For all those and many more behind the scenes, I'm Rob West, and we're so thankful you are along with us today on Faith and Finance Live. Have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.